بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, my respected and honorable friends, let us correct our intention. We are sitting here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to learn in order to attain the reward of performing 1,000 rakats of nafal salah, which has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To get this magnitude of reward, let each one of us intend with sincerity from the bottom of our hearts. My dear respected friends, when Maulana Muhammad Barachia asked the brothers when the Quran recitation para day begins to make miswak, I see brothers taking out the miswak and making miswak. They're making the miswak wrong. You do not make the miswak this way. You make the miswak this way. Is sunnat up, down, not side to side. And you must always keep the miswak in this position that I have. Those that are too far cannot see, ask the ulama, they will show you how to keep your miswak. I remember very well our ustad of Abu Dawood, Maulana Abdul Ahad Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi, told us in the lesson when he was teaching us on the importance and significance of the miswak, telling us that if you hold the miswak this way and make, you'll have pile trouble. And you want to save your piles from troubling you, then hold your miswak in this way. So the sunnat method is to hold it this way, brush downwards, start on the right, to the left, down to the left again, and finish off at the right. So you start at the right, finish off at the right. You make intention, is the sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will get a reward inshallah. Second thing is how to hold the hands for making dua. Oh, big dua making. Are you telling about Allah? Give me big. No, my dear respected friends, it must be parallel to your chest, fingers open, hand open, away from the sides. And this is how you hold and make dua, the sunnat method. Then you can make like this also, you can make like this also, you can make anyhow. As long as you're making the dua with sincerity, but lifting the hands, another sunnah. My dear respected friends, always remember that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." Whoever says la ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. Some ahadith got with ikhlas, with sincerity, which we're going to speak about the sincerity in a short while inshallah. When the Sahaba heard this, they got amazed. Did you did la ilaha illallah going to Jannah? So they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa in zana, wa in saraka? That even if we commit adultery and even if we steal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa in zana, wa in saraka? Yes, even if you commit adultery and you steal, you'll still go to Jannah. But what we forget the point, my dear respected friends, for the fornication, or the adultery and the stealing, you will go through Jahannam first, burn, and then go into Jannah. Now, as we know, that it is mentioned in the Quran Kareem that Akhirat hereafter's one day is equivalent to this world's 1,000 years. That the Quran teaches us. It is mentioned in the hadith that when you are thrown into Jahannam, you will appeal, you will cry, you will ask for intercession. The appeal will be only heard after 40 years. Now multiply that with 365 and 1,000 years, and you will know how many years that you are going to stay in Jahannam before your appeal is heard. And when you appeal, the first appeal you will get answer, shut up and remain in there because you were sinned and you did the wrong things. There go you another 40 years. You don't even live in this world for 80 years and you want to burn in Jahannam for 80 years? Is it worth it, my dear respected friends? You think and ponder over it all the time. And remember, the way you live, that's the way you're going to die. And the way you die, that's the way you're going to be raised on the day of Qiyamah. So the way you want to be raised on the day of Qiyamah, that's the way, my dear respected friends, live in this life. Certainly, with the La ilaha illallah, you are going to enter Jannah. And alhamdulillah, all of you are going to enter Jannah. All of us are going to enter Jannah. But my dear respected friends, there are only very few selected servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who Allah ta'ala accepts in His court, in His nearness, and on the day of Qiyamah, when they are made to enter Jannah, they will enter that type of Jannah where they will have the vision of Allah at all times. Because they had befriended Allah in the dunya and attained the marifat and the love of Allah in the dunya. So Allah will keep these such people in proximity to Allah in Jannah. You got to work for it, my dear respected friends. It does not come for nothing. We can say safely in South Africa there are over 10 to 20,000 students annually that write matric, class 12 examination. Out of all of them, my dear respected friends, how many of them pass with all distinctions? Can be counted on the hand. Allah did not give everybody the same brain. Like Allah gives us the example on our finger. All the fingers are not the same size. So are not the hearts of the people the same. Nor are the efforts the same. Nor are the connection with Allah the same. But my dear respected friends, one thing in our life we should always remember, that every law of the Sharia of the religion is what Allah had sent to Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically showed it to the Sahaba kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Therefore, every act of the Sharia becomes a sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, he should have taken the Quran and the laws and say, there they are, put it on the Kaaba and say, go there and read them and practice on them. No, Allah revealed the Quran al-Kareem verse by verse by verse. And when it was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it to the Sahabas and showed them how that law must be fulfilled. So that is where the ahadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in to explain the ayats of the Quran that were revealed to Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all these actions that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did was from Allah. Do we understand that till now? All of us? Okay. What is prohibiting us, preventing us from practicing on these laws? Two things, my dear respected friends. One is shaitan. where Allah in many, many ayats of the Quran Kareem has warned us. Inna shaitana lakum aduwwum mubin fattakhizuhu aduwa. That most certainly shaitan is your open enemy and treat him as your open enemy. But nay, we don't want to treat shaitan as our enemy. We want to treat him as our pal. And we have made him our best friend. By making him our best friend, he's putting funny ideas into our minds, putting funny ideas into our hearts regarding the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the practical of Islam. Now, bigger than that shaitan is a bigger shaitan. And that bigger shaitan is our carnal desire, is our nafs. This nafs must never ever be trusted till the day you die and leave the world. For this nafs will never ever bring you onto the right path or order you or instruct you to do the right thing. As is mentioned in the beginning of the 13th para, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, in the first ayat of the 13 Jews, Yusuf alayhi salam speaks about this nafs, and he speaks about the nafs-e ammara, where, my dear respected friends, he says, speaking about nafsul ammara bisu, that this ammara will always take you towards evil. In this ayat, it did not mention or say in the Quran that it will be ammara bil khair wal su, that it will take you towards good and bad. It has mentioned only will take you towards evil. If you can learn to control your carnal desire, you will fly in the air and you will walk on water. As our spiritual mentor, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to always mention stories telling us that once there was a buzruk. This buzruk used to fly in the air. But this buzruk, when he used to go home, then his wife used to climb his head and tell him, what you call yourself a buzruk? If you call yourself a buzruk and a sheikh with all these murids of yours, you must fly in the air. So this buzruk humbly told his wife, I'm the one that fly. So the wife said, oh, that's why you fly so crooked. These wives are never, ever happy with what you do. These wives always find complaints. You're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, it must be done this way, it must be done that way. There was another sheikh that he had a very, very rude wife, very hot-headed. Maybe it was a Kanamiya. Because amongst the Indian races, the Kanamiyas are very hot-headed. They are known to be hot-headed. Now, that is only on the lighter side. Now, I got to say every time it's the lighter side. Because yesterday when I said, this poor Sheikh Satya get no presents, that was on the lighter side. It was just a joke. One brother in a consultation came and asked me today, I want to give you a gift. What must I give you? Because you said yesterday, nobody gives you gifts. Now, I don't need your guys' gifts. Thanks. So, this poor Sheikh, his wife used to hammer him. So one day, the murids got very angry and they told the sheikhs, today we're rolling up our sleeves and we're going to give it to her. The sheikh said, please don't do that. If it wasn't for her and her habits, I shouldn't be where I am today. Because I'm making sabr on her hardship and difficulty, that's why I am where I am today. So my dear respected friends, my wives are good, huh? Because both of them are listening. One here and one on the air at home, they're listening. They are good, huh? Otherwise, I need a helmet. On each day when I go home, I need a helmet. No, they are very good, shukar. They love me, they look after me, they do everything for me. Allah reward them abundantly, inshallah. So my dear respected friends, also our spiritual mentor, Rahmatullah Alayh, told us a story that once there was a Hindu that was flying in the air. So one alim saw him and knew, oh no, this Hindu, I know him from somewhere. So when he met him in the street, he asked him, how did you attain this position of flying in the air? So he said, no, I go against my carnal desires. That's how I've attained this position of flying in the air. So the alim asked him, what does your desire say? Is Islam a true religion or is it a wrong religion? So he said, no, it is a true religion. So then an alim asked him, why don't you go against your carnal desire and accept Islam? And immediately accepted Islam. Because had he not accepted Islam at that time with the alim saying, then his air of flying in the air should have been gone. So now this is what the carnal desire is about. Now we come down. How many of us are keeping a sunnat shadi'i beard? That was a law Allah had put upon Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. That is the law, finish. Now don't come with square laws here that in those days they didn't have razors. That's why they never used to shave. Definitely, my dear respected friends, the Sharia ordains us to shave underarm and below the belly. What did the Sahaba stay glass and clean? They had the same razor, and that same razor they could have shaved. Your carnal desire is stopping you from keeping the beard. Your carnal desire is stopping you from keeping the beard, according to Sharia, because you want to look smart, and you want to look presentable in the eyes of the people. Or you will have your wife saying, that when your beard is big, it's pricking. The wife is saying it's pricking, but you're not worried about Allah's heart being pricked and the heart of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pricked. And then you call yourself a Muslim? I spit on such people. Your iman is weak and you are ruled by your carnal desire. And such people die without iman. Because the carnal desire overpowers them in all affairs. My dear respected friends, if you are cutting anything less than one first full, then remember, every single devotion that you do, whether it is fasting, whether it is salah, whether it is reading Quran, whatever you are doing, has haram with it, because it is haram to cut. So all your ibadahs are mixed with haram. And that haram you want to, ibadah with haram you want to present to Allah. How would you like if somebody presents you with a nice, delicious cake, but decorated with feces? You are going to like it, ne? You don't like it yourself, but you want Allah to like your ibadah. But the haram on it. Come, my dear respected friends. Who are you trying to prove by cutting your beard less than a fistful? It is haram to cut it. Though it is a sunnah to keep the beard, but it is haram to cut. So all those of you that are cutting your beard less than a fistful and shaving, remember all your ibadahs, top to bottom, every little devotion that you do are included with haram. But you just don't want to go into the brains. Why? Because the carnal desire is overpowering it and telling him, no. Tomorrow when we're old, we'll repent. Tomorrow when we're old, we'll grow a beard. Tomorrow is like this, and tomorrow is like that, and tomorrow is like that. But you'll never get to that old age. You might just go. Then in what position are you? You 180 years of Jahannam? Then you get people that dress for show. That I wear, you know, designer garments and the best of clothes. I really got training staying in the khidmat, in the service of my spiritual mentor. If you read in the Abbati that when he was a young little lad, he got a beating of his life for dressing in beautiful clothes because his mother was sick and she was on the verge of dying and she wanted to see her son in beautiful, good clothes which he never saw in. And that set was made for him. But before he can wear it properly and come out to demonstrate it to the family people, his father met him and gave him such a beating that our spiritual mentor say, from that day till today, till the day he died, he never ever loved beautiful clothes, nor liked to see people wearing these types of clothes. Islam demands simplicity, plain and simple. My dear respected friends, you will never know when I change my clothes. Because all my kurtas and pants are of one design. And they are all white. So you don't know when I changed. Because I wear white, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved white. I love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love white. So I only wear white. But no, we must have color. We must look little, but you know... that the cherries can also check us lekker. Remember, if you are dressing for other people, the hadith say if you apply itar for other people, then on the day of Qiyamah, you will have an odor coming out of you, which is worse than the odor of dead flesh. The same will apply, my dear respected friends, for you to dress to kill, or you dress for somebody else. Our woman should take a lesson, because if there is a marriage ceremony somewhere, there's a function somewhere, they must have the most beautiful dress, because they are going to go in front of all the people and they must be tip top, the best dressed amongst everybody. You have wasted your husband's money, first of all. And plus you're going in a situation like that to show off. You are nothing better than shaitan. So take the same path he took, you also take it same because you love him and you did it because he does it, you do it. Take the same path, no problem. So come, my dear respected friends, there is no remedy. Believe me, there is no remedy for the carnal desire except fighting it with your own self. Don't let it mislead you. Like somebody says, I'm fighting my nafs in Ramadan that I eat less, so that I lose weight. For what did you do it? You did it for Allah, you did it for losing weight. Fighting your carnal desires is hopeless. You're fooling yourself and you're fooling everybody else. So come, my dear respected friends, let us get our act right. It is said and mentioned that the worst desire of the nafs is to seek and search anything that is ghairullah. So anything that is ghairullah, got concern about the dunya, about the world, that is what the nafs will take you and make you seek. Leave the creator and connect with the creation. That is what the nafs want you to do. So going against your nafs, fighting your carnal desires, that is mujahida that you are making. My dear respected friends, do you want to hear about mujahida? Going against the carnal desire? Really, wallahi al-azim, I take the oath of Allah, if you go through this difficulty and hardship, which the carnal desire doesn't want to take and which it can't bear to take, you will become a man of yourself. Of the many examples, my dear respected friends, while studying in Darul Uloom Deoband, I used to eat food from the mess. 365 days for lunch and supper, you get the same type of curry. And that curry was so thin that they asked the fatwa, can you make wuzu with this? And you're lucky if you get a nice piece of meat, otherwise you got a bone, and maybe if you're lucky you get a potato. Only on Fridays used to get dal, because Friday in Deoband used to be a meatless day. Now imagine living through such a state, eating that every single day. That mujahida that we made, my dear respected friends, today have produced within ourselves that we eat anything and everything and never complain about food. Because we went through that hardship. My dear respected friends, that life was no joke staying in Darul Uloom Deoband. Time don't permit. Sorry, I should tell you many more stories. The Buzurgan Adin reckon and say, cleansing of the soul is easy. Read Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah. Read the Quran, your soul gets clean. Cleansing of the heart is what is required by Mujahida, and it is difficult because the self never wants to go through anything difficult. It wants to do things that is the easiest. Now, one more story, my dear respected friends, I have to tell you. In Darul Uloom Deoband, when we were studying, my dear respected friend, there was no hot water. If you wanted hot water, you must get your primer stove, light it, walk about 100 meters to the pump, where you pump and fill your bucket with water, come, put it on, and make hot water. Now on a cold, cold winter night, or the winter morning, Allah forbid you had a wet dream, now you need a bath. Allahu Akbar, now by the time you go there, fill the bucket, come back, put on the primers, put your bucket on, make the water hot, go to the bathroom, go bath. I think Ishraq will be also over by then. Now what to do? Azan went, you have to go to the masjid, you got to go to eat namaz. Ah, never mind, you brave it. So you go, and in the bathroom they had one little tap with cold water. It is shivering cold outside. You open the tap, and you stand underneath. But you make your ghusl finish. But believe me, when you come out of the bathroom, you feel hot. Because your body temperature is colder than the temperature outside. So you feel warm. Now we were brought up that way. My dear respected friends, did you know that you have to go against the carnal desire? Make mujahida at the present moment. Because the brothers' washings get washed here, I don't get hot water. I have to make wuzu with cold water. I don't run and tell the wife, bring me some hot water, make boiled water and bring for me quickly. Or tell the khadim, just please go to the air and bring some hot water. We went through the mill of that cold water so we can make wuzu with cold water. So my dear respected friends, strain your carnal desire. Don't feed it. The more you feed it, the fatter it becomes. And the fatter it becomes, my dear respected friends, the more it mislead you from the Siratul Mustaqim. To go against it is mujahida. And Allah has promised in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, that whoever makes mujahida for us, we will show them the path. Come, my dear respected friends, learn to make this mujahida. Learn to go against your carnal desire. As far as every material aspect of the world is concerned, your clothes are only meant to cover your private parts, to keep you warm and to keep you cool. The beard you keep Because Allah has ordained Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahabas kept it. All your actions will then come in perspective. Allah give you, me and all, the tawfiq to do it. Buzurgan al-Din also said the nafs must always be kept busy or else it will lead to evils. So, they say, an empty mind is the workshop of the devil. So never ever sit idle. Whenever you want to, got no time, you are sitting now. I mean, you got time, you are sitting, you are relaxing. Take your tasbih, read. Allah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Salat ala Nabi. Whatever you want to read, but keep yourself busy and occupied. Then that will not make that carnal desire and yourself, my dear respected friends, bring ideas into your mind. It will keep you away from those. Because Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith said, min husnil Islam al-mar'u tarku ma la ya'anini. That from the beauty of Islam is to leave those things that is of no benefit. If it got no benefit for you in the akhirah, it got no benefit for your deen, then that is idle, useless, keep away from it. My dear respected friends, I haven't forgotten about the intention. We're coming back to the intention someday in the future, one of these few days before the Ramzan ends. Next week, this time I'll be crying because there will be no majlis, there will be no people around, nobody to make talim to. Everybody will be gone home. Everybody will be enjoying Eid with their families. But I'll make dua for you. You people make dua for me next week Wednesday when you're not here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon us. Tomorrow is speaking on Durood and the virtues of Friday. On Friday itself we read Salat al-Salam, so the time is very limited. May read a story or two to you. Saturday is on death and Sunday, as you know, is on question and answers. Monday, inshallah, we'll start with intentions. And Tuesday, we are going to speak about anger. I need to repair my anger first before I tell you people to your anger. So Tuesday, let's see how wild we get, how many of us become kanamiyas on Tuesday, before we leave the etiquette from that evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Wa akhir dawana anil hamdulillah rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.